we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm on the radio here Monday through Friday at this time, and we want to thank you. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are on WIMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM, and thank you for making us part of your Monday through Friday. We count it a great pleasure. So do want to invite you out to our services this week, and I do want to remind you about our Refresh 2016 Spiritual Emphasis Week that is coming up. That is coming up on, let's see if I can get the dates right here, the 30th, the 29th, the 28th, and the 26th. So October 26th, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Now, we're not going to worry about the 45-minute during that time, and then we're no services on Thursday night, and then we're going to have services on Friday night, on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning at 10:30. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Friday, Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. A friend of mine, Bob Fisher, out of New Jersey, he's going to be he's going to be speaking for me that day, and sorry about the phone call there. I forgot to turn my phone ringer off, and so So he's going to be ministering. We're going to be having a Holy Spirit emphasis as we prepare for our holiday season. So glory to the Lord. And now you know what my ringtone sounds like. So with that being said, we want to invite you out to our services Sunday morning at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We are in one of those seasons right now where we are growing, and there it goes again. And sorry about that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to shut that bad boy off, and they can call all they want. Oh, hi, it's Friday. Oh, praise the Lord. We invited you to church. Hopefully we'll see you out this weekend. We look forward to it. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 43 today. Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm going to take you to verse number 10. I'm not touching on every verse, but I do want to share with you some, it looks like about four truths out of verses 10 and 11. Today it says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." So that's verses 10 and 11. And I want to take you, first of all, to verse number 10, and that is that you and I are chosen by God, and we are chosen to serve. Now, I don't know if you've ever applied for a job and not got the job, but that can be quite demoralizing. I don't know if you have ever wanted to be chosen in some other areas, whether it's on a sports team or not, but that rejection, it can be quite humbling. But I want to encourage you today, if you've ever not been chosen when you wanted to be chosen, I just want to share a truth with you, and that is that Michael Jordan, in his freshman year of high school, was not chosen for his high school basketball team. Now, I'm sure if that basketball coach knew later what he would know 20 years later, he would have been glad to have Michael Jordan on that basketball team. But he wasn't chosen. He was cut from his basketball team, or at least didn't make the varsity team. And you need to realize that just because people don't make the choice that you want them to make does not mean that you have to go and beat yourself up because they deemed you somehow inferior. Now, I will tell you this, that one of the strangest things I have ever heard in my life is, well, we can't hire you because you are overqualified for this job. Listen, I have been in some seasons in my life where I was looking for a job. I didn't care if I was overqualified. I just wanted to work. I had family, had a wife, kids, and I wanted to make sure that they did not starve. And so through the years, I've done some really interesting things. I had a booth in a flea market that happened once a month because I was supplementing my income with that. I've washed dishes as an adult because I needed extra income. And, you know, I have a different mindset. I worked for a guy one time, and he said, I had been trained by this one gentleman to operate in the shoe industry. And he said, I went on to become the head of a shoe sales department of a major department store. And one day I see this application that comes across my desk, and it is an application from the guy who trained me in the shoe industry. He said, I really didn't have a job that I was, that a position that I could give to him at the time, but I knew that he had skills that would benefit our company. And so I made room for him because I couldn't afford not to hire him. And that's really one of my things that I hope to accomplish here on this program, is that not only will this program enhance your spiritual life, it will enhance your marriage and all of that, but I pray that the ethics that we talk about here, the work ethic and the way that we do business, the values that God wants to instill in your life, will cause you and I to become the most marketable people in the workforce. That we will be chosen, just like Israel was chosen, that we would be chosen to serve. That we would be chosen to say, this is what I formed you for. I have preached in several other churches besides the one that I pastor. I have preached in my parents' home church. I've preached there so much that it feels almost like second nature to preach there because of the how frequently I have been able to preach there. But there have been other places that when I preach there, it didn't feel natural. It didn't feel like that was where it didn't feel like home. Let's put it that way. And so it didn't feel like that was the place that I was chosen to serve. Now, I wasn't there to audition. I was there to speak. The one I'm actually thinking about, I had been spiritually set up to be blessed. The pastor had invited us in because he wanted to bless our kids with Christmas presents. When we first came to Merit Assembly of God, we came with no salary. We lived in subpar living conditions. We finally did, after a few months, add one air conditioning unit that would take some of the edge off of the heat. But for the most part, we lived a pretty meager existence. And this church, someone had blessed them when they were much younger, and they wanted to do that. And so they invited me up to preach, and then they ambushed us with all sorts of Christmas presents for our kids. I'll never forget that. But how I managed to serve in this capacity was I scanned the crowd, and I looked and I said, okay, now who is going to be my bellwether person? Who's going to be the person that when I look at them, I can tell that they are grasping the truth that God has spoken to me to give to this group of people. And once I found those people that reminded me of home, then all of a sudden I said, I can now serve the way I'm supposed to serve right now. You see, my wife, my daughters, all of them work outside the church as well. My son does as well. And we have a mindset to be a servant leader wherever we are. And so it really doesn't matter whether it's our church, whether it's work. My daughters also attend some young adult events in other churches. And wherever they go, they end up looking for how they can serve wherever they are. When you and I realize that we are not chosen to be a consumer, but to be a servant of the living God, it will change the way that you operate. Everywhere I go, I start looking for things that can either help me where I'm at or things that I can speak into other people's lives that will bless them. I had a pastor friend of mine. We were invited over to his church for a minister's meeting, and he and I were talking afterwards, and I told him about the condition that our church was in at that time. And so when I had walked into his building, I mean, I was looking for ideas. I mean, I was looking at the way his walls were constructed. I was looking how the carpet was. I was looking, and he said, I was wondering what was going on there. I said, no, I'm here because I want to go back a better servant than when I came to this meeting today. And so you and I having a really interesting day this morning. I want to the best of our abilities to get away from the consumer mindset that is so prevalent in modern Christianity, where unless you are going to meet all of my needs, then I can't attend church here. Well, let me define that for you. That's selfishness. That is still self-absorption. And that is the thing that Jesus came to uproot from our lives, not to instill in our Christianity. He wants the heart of a servant to replace that self-absorption, if you will. And so I pray that when you go to church this weekend, you're going to say, Pastor, what do I need to do to improve my serve? I remember watching a tennis match years ago. I believe it was Wimbledon, and it was the finals. And it was really, I don't know if it was really windy or what it was, but the two people who were playing in that tennis match, they could not get their serve. The person who initiates the point is the one who serves. And there were more points in that match that were decided by double fault than any tennis match that I could remember in recent memory. And it all had to do with a defective serve. If your business doesn't serve well, it's going to be short-lived. If you do not serve in your community well, it's going to be short-lived. If you don't serve at work, your employment, you and I are chosen to serve. The second thing I want to talk to you about is we are chosen to know. It says, my servant whom I have chosen that you may know. So all of a sudden he begins to define for us the reason that he has chosen us. He's chosen us to serve, but he has also chosen us to know and believe him. So it is not just that we are chosen to have possession of the knowledge. Do you know God? Yes. Does God know you? Is a better question. Do you just know about God, or do you know him? Not just do you recognize him, but are you a person who exercises the knowledge that you have? It's a knowledge that comes by observation. It is knowledge that comes from just being with somebody. So there are things in my wife's life that I know that she either A, does like, or B, doesn't like, simply because I have spent enough time with her to know that she likes or doesn't like that. And so she likes curry chicken. I don't like curry chicken. I know some of you think I just, you know, that that's heresy, and I'm okay with that. It's just not my favorite thing. There are things that I like that she doesn't like. And those are things that we have learned about one another because we spend time with one another. So I know foods that she likes, and she knows foods that I like. And so if she's having a rough day, then I can say, okay, well, let me help make your night a little bit better by just going, and she works 30 to 45 minutes away from our house. And I said, so instead of you coming home and me coming home and then having to cook dinner, why don't I just pick up something on the way home, and it will be something that you'll like, and it'll make your night better. So God has chosen us that we might know him, that we might know his word, that we might know his promises, that we might know his people, and that we operate and exercise in that knowledge. He said, I've chosen you to serve, and I have chosen you to know me on a personal basis. There's an old saying that says God has no grandchildren. He only has children, people that he knows, people that he's adopted into his own family. Listen, I want my descendants to be saved, but it will happen not because they were related to me, but because they have accepted the offer of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So know God. You and I are supposed to be on a passionate pursuit to know him personally, intimately. That we are supposed to know him missionally. We're supposed to know him better than anything else. And it also says that my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. Believe me. I was contemplating the other night, and I shared this in a conversation I had with someone recently. I don't remember who it was. And the conversation was this. I wonder if a theology exam was given to every person that claims to be a Christian in Brevard County. I wonder how many of those people would actually be able to pass the theology exam, that you know God. Okay? That's one thing. The second point of contemplation was this. I wonder how many of the people that God has chosen to know him believe him over their circumstances. Now, I pray that you are getting ready to get out and vote. There's a great deal riding on this election, but I've had to make a conscious choice, and that is I've had to choose to change the channel at times just so I can fill my ears with good news instead of the noise of the news that is going on around about us. So, do you believe him? Here is what I have observed as a pastor, and I've observed it more times than I care to acknowledge. And that is that if a person knows what God's word has to say and about a subject, and then all of a sudden a family member gets involved in something that is contrary to the word of God, I have seen people who will reject God's word so that they can embrace their family member. And that is tragic. And I will tell you that it is tragic because it doesn't produce the result that you want. You think that in making that choice and in setting aside God's word, which never fails, it's settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's not going anyplace. God doesn't lie. He never makes a mistake. He is perfect in all his ways. So when he spoke his word, he spoke it and he meant it. And we think that by softening our approach to God's word, that it will make us more appealable to those who are struggling with an issue in their life. And I want you to know that that is exactly the wrong approach. The right approach is to cling to God's word and minister in love and compassion and say, I love you, but I am not going to compromise the word of God. The word of God is the standard. By the way, heaven is not a right. Heaven is a privilege that has been given to you and I. It is, if you will allow me to put it in these very simple terms, it's God's house. Not everybody who comes to my house gets to come in. It is a restricted access domicile. And God has firmly established that there is one way to get into, quote unquote, his eternal household, and that is through the blood and the forgiveness that Jesus offers us. It is only that way. There is only one way to the Father. So I want to encourage you, elevate your trust in God. It is a trust to, you can trust him to be faithful. If you can trust him to forgive you of your sins, you can trust him to save your loved ones. You can trust him with your job. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your eternity. You can trust him with your sanity. You can trust him with a sound mind. You can trust him. He is faithful. If we as the people of God do not come to grips with the reality that God is faithful and he's always going to be faithful, then the world will not see him as faithful. Now, I want to encourage you, if you want to, the scripture says, to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. I love that verse. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. So I want God to develop faithfulness in me because it's going to open my eyes to see the faithfulness of God. And the last thing is that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God form, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. So we have been chosen to understand the supremacy of God, that there is no comparison to him that is going to measure up. Nothing is going to be adequate or sufficient to say, yep, that's just like God. I had a person one time, and they got very upset at us because we sang a song in that night's worship set that said, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. And that was in our worship. And they got very agitated. Now, there were a lot of things in this particular person's life that unsettled them. They said, I'm just like God. I'm just like God. And I said, no, you're not. I'm not. That's our goal, but we haven't reached it yet. We want to be as much like God as we can be. And they were just quite upset that, they in our eyes, they didn't quite measure up to the standard of God. You know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They thought they had everything all figured out. They had it all put together, and Jesus came along and his puzzle piece didn't fit into their puzzle. And so they chose to get rid of that puzzle piece instead of adopting the puzzle that God had for them. I don't know where that analogy came from, but you can take it or leave it. I just want you to know, you and I need to have a mindset that our God is the omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he wants to make us more than conquerors, that there is no comparison between him and the devil. I think it is time that we stopped giving God the blame for the devil's jobs and stop giving the devil credit for the things that only God gets the credit for. That's, look, don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. That's what I heard one time, and I really like that. There's nothing that can compare with the relationship that we have been chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to serve him, to know him, to believe him and trust him, and to understand just how incomparable he is. I wonder what would happen if our contemporary 2016 Christian mindset got tweaked just a little bit. And what I mean by that is this, that we see that there's no Savior but Jesus, that there is no possession that can compare to the reality of knowing that we belong to him, that there is nothing in all of creation that can compare with the sufficiency and the beauty, the majesty, the power, the love of our Creator. Let's put God back on his rightful place. And I'm telling you, if God is just inches above the most important things in your life, he's too low. Listen, my wife wants me to love God more than I love her, and I love her with all my heart. But the greatest gift that I can give to her as a husband is to be more in love with Jesus. And the greatest gift she can give to me is for her to be even more in love with Jesus. So let's lift him up. Let's exalt him to the highest place today. Let's choose to serve, not just to be a consumer. Choose to know him and put it into practice. Choose to believe him and know that he is faithful, and choose to understand that there's no one even close to the sufficiency of God. Father, rule and reign on this day and this weekend. And Lord, may you find faithful servants in Brevard County. In Jesus' name, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?
my world.